Nations we've been discussing. We'll take you to the floor now.
The Committee on Divine Worship has two action items to present to us at this time. Bishop Saratelli, the chair, will first introduce the discussion on the ISIL Gray Book, the translation of the Proper of Seasons. Do we need to do this? We need two-thirds.
Bishops, I present to you action item number two, the Gray Book of the Proper Seasons from the Missale Romano Meditio Typica Tertia. Passage of this item requires a two-thirds vote of the Latin Rite Bishops of the United States Catholic Conference. I would like to take this opportunity at least to offer a fuller response to the questions posed yesterday when the action item was introduced regarding Bishop Gallioni's question about the single sentence form of the Collects. I would refer us to Liturgium Authenticum number 57, which reads, "The connection between various expressions manifested by subordinate and relative clauses, the ordering of words and various forms of parallelism is to be maintained as completely as possible in a manner appropriate to the vernacular language." Now, this might be helpful to understand that throughout the process of translating the text, the bishops of ISIL themselves were concerned about the length of some sentences, usually contained in non-Roman prayers. Bishop Roach, who's the chairman of ISIL, was in communication with the Congregation of Divine Worship to address the specific question of the single sentence orations. The congregation agreed that in some cases it is advisable to divide the longest of prayers into multiple syntactic units, and this was done. Furthermore, our own modifications that you have before you in the Proper Seasons has done the same to an additional 14 prayers that the members of this conference believed also needed to change. So I just wanted to put that information out to the body of bishops. And then the second piece of information before I present the amendments, someone brought up the use of the term Paschal and Easter. Why was there a difference in those uses? If you want to know what the liturgists do, they're like scripture scholars. They don't count sheep, they count words. Paschalis occurs 55 times in the Proper of Seasons. 51 times it is translated as Paschal. 4 times it is translated as Easter. The bishops of ISIL chose to use the adjective Paschal in certain instances for its theological richness. At the same time, they respected the fact that the familiar use of Easter should also be maintained. The expression, the season of Easter, instead of the Easter season, was chosen to maintain a parallel with the other liturgical seasons of Advent, seasons of Christmas, and season of Lent. And one last minor point, the expression Sunday of the Resurrection was adopted as a direct translation of the Latin text that clearly expresses the nature of the day. ISIL has striven for consistency in translation. However, in some contexts, they accepted a different approach. You have before you at your places a group of amendments that were accepted by the committee.
Thank you, Bishop Saratelli. The committee recommends that all of the amendments in Group 1 be adopted. Does any member desire separate consideration of any amendment in Group 1? Without objection, then, all of the amendments in Group 1 are adopted.
And there are no amendments in Group 2. We accepted all the suggestions.
Modifications in Group 2 are now all accepted?
There were none rejected. There were no amendments rejected.
Isn't that what Group 2 is?
Right.
What? Aren't Group 2 rejected?
There is no.
This is actually in Group 2.
What you have here, these are modifications that are already put into the text. In other words, there was a process before the book that you have in front of you represents the modifications that were accepted, and then this would be the modifications that were not put into there. But there were no amendments after the book was given to put these modifications forward as amendments.
But weren't the modifications that were suggested by members and listed there rejected by the Liturgy Committee?
Yes, they were.
Well, then
they
I
were
think...
reject. They were rejected as modifications.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, you're...
Well,
we have to vote on it, don't we? Yeah. So the committee recommends that all of the amendments in Group 2 not be adopted.
Well, the modifications, from what I understand, procedure are not voted on. It's amendments that are voted on. So my understanding would have been that if these modifications that weren't accepted in the present text, they would have had to been brought forward as amendments again.
But that's the opportunity we have now,
yeah, right,
to bring them forward again.
Okay.
So therefore, does any member desire to take those modifications that are rejected and submit them as an amendment? Now, Bishop Troutman, what numbers, please? Eight and 15. Are there any others? All right. Then under our rules, all of the amendments except numbers 8 and 15 are dropped, and they are not, in fact, in the text. So if I could see, you have my...
Oh.
Separate consideration now of... Numbers 8 and 15 will be considered. The chair recognizes Bishop Troutman to make the case for his desire to have modifications 8 and 15 accepted as an amendment to the present text.
Thank you very much. There is repeated reference in six prayers that, quote, these divine provisions which have cleansed us of vices, close a quote. That is an absolute statement and is not theologically precise. The committee argues that the English translation is an accurate translation of the Latin. Latin text is not inspired. The English text is misleading. The divine gifts received at Mass do not eradicate vices. The divine gifts strengthen us in our battle against vices. To say we are cleansed of vices is not precise. People hearing that, quote, divine provisions have cleansed us of vices, close the quote, can mistakenly think that the vices of alcoholism or drugs or promiscuity are gone. That's what the present tense the present translation, cleansed, says. Vices do not disappear at the end of the Eucharist. So I'm asking for theological clarity in this translation.
So you are asking us not to accept this particular phrase,
right,
and to have it rewritten, but you don't have...
I have suggested wording.
Have cleansed us.
To help us
help
to cleanse
us
of some language like that.
The committee... recommends, I believe, that we vote no. If there are other people who want to talk to this, please do. Otherwise, I'll ask Bishop Saratelli to have the last word, and then we'll vote. And Bishop Saratelli?
The committee rejected the suggestion because the English is an accurate translation of what the Latin prayer says. It's as simple as that.
Are we ready then to vote? All those in favor of accepting number 8 as an amendment to the text that is temporarily, we don't have a translation for that phrase. You want to suggest help to cleanse us of vices. I'm sorry I misunderstood, because you suggested that we give it to professional translators for rewrite. But if that is what you're suggesting, then that's easier. Thank you. So the suggestion is that we accept help to cleanse us of vices rather than have cleansed us of vices. All right, are you ready to vote on whether to accept that phrase or not? All those in favor of accepting the phrase help to cleanse us of vices in place of have cleansed us of vices in the received translation, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed?
No.
What do you think? People will have to stand and we'll count. So all those who would want to accept the translation, help to cleanse us of vices, please stand. Diocesan bishops and auxiliaries of Latin churches. All right. It's will all those who are opposed please stand? So the translation will read, help to cleanse us, because 126 have indicated they're in favor of that translation against 81 who are not. Okay. Bishop Troutman, you have number 15.
Thank you. To support my amendment, I cite the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy from Vatican II, Article 21, which I quote, texts and rites should be drawn up so that they express more clearly the holy things which they signify. Christian people, as far as possible, should be able to understand them with ease, close the quote. The Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy further specifies that the liturgical rites, quote, should be written within the people's power of comprehension and normally should not require much explanation, close the quote. Even Liturgium Authenticum, the Roman document on translations, in its own general principle states that the content of the original text should be, quote, evident and comprehensible even to the faithful who lack any specialized intellectual formation, close the quote. This is especially true when liturgical texts are to be proclaimed and heard, sung and prayed by people of the third millennium, children, teenagers, adults, those with varying degrees of education, and those with English as a second language.
So the amendment that you're proposing is that the word ineffable be taken out of the translation in the four instances where you locate it.
And I have substituted other language for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Eternal or divine.
Point of order.
Yes, Bishop Vigneron.
Your Eminence, if we're going to vote on this, I'd like to know if I'm voting on divine or eternal.
Would you please, if you care to, respond to which of the two adjectives you prefer?
I would suggest divine.
Okay. Thank you. So the proposition now before us is to take out the word ineffable and substitute the word divine in the four instances that are listed on number 15. Any other observations? Archbishop Sheehan.
And Archbishop Chairman, Sheehan. I'm wondering if maybe Bishop Ceritelli would give the background of the reasons why the committee is not accepting what Bishop Troutman is suggesting.
The reason is because when you look at the context and the word, ineffable has a different meaning than divine. And ineffable has a different meaning than eternal. You're substituting a different word for the word ineffable.
Who is it? Archbishop Hughes. Archbishop Hughes.
It's not a complicated reason.
Archbishop Hughes.
I would like to suggest that this word and a number of other words that have come up at different times, a part of what Liturgium Authenticam asks for the development of a sacral language for the liturgy. For language to be understandable, it need not be colloquial. And sacral language stretches us a bit, but it transcends a particular generation of people, and I think we all recognize that the King James Version of Scripture used language that was not colloquial in the 16th century and transcended the one generation in which it was developed. So I want to raise the voice of suggesting that we stay with ineffable as expressing something that is unspeakable and has a very distinctive meaning.
DiNardo. Mm-hmm. Bishop Peña. Bishop Peña and then Cardinal DiNardo.
May I ask what the Latin word is?
Ineffabilis. Ineffabilis.
Cardinal DiNardo.
I think we should remain with ineffable because it's precise. Thank you.
Archbishop Lasney.
I do believe also we should stay with ineffable. I think it still would be in keeping with the directives of Liturgium Authenticam because the translation, if you look at the prayer, if we use the word ineffable, it's quite understandable what we're praying about. That one word being maybe more difficult than all the other words doesn't take away the basic understanding, which is quite clear.
Bishop Gaglione.
Of course, there's no way to do this now, but if we were to canvass the average educated or uneducated person in the streets, what do we mean by ineffable? I would dare say 80-85% could not define that word for you. They would not know what it means. Therefore, it's contradicting Liturgium Authenticum itself. It says understandable. Furthermore, we had a presentation this morning about the marketers listening clearly to the consumers. And when they don't, during the break, one of my confreres, I will not mention his diocese, we were talking specifically about the translations, He said, you know, Vic, he said, when during the ordination rites, let's say I'm using Eucharistic prayer number 3, I'm embellishing somewhat just to clarify what he was saying, Eucharistic prayer number 3, and then depending on who was ordained right after the consecration, that one prayer there, there is from the translation from the official ordination booklet, there's that prayer for the ordinand who have just been ordained. He said it sticks out like a sore thumb. The difference in translation there, so much more difficult to understand. I just mentioned that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other observations? Bishop Boyer, yeah.
I think there are many words in the liturgy that aren't understandable, like Trinity, Incarnation. You start asking people on the street what those things mean. I think ineffable's fine. We have to teach our people what these words mean.
Okay. Are you ready? Bishop Saratelli, please make... You always give the last comment to the chair.
Well, I don't think the word ineffable is unspeakable. And secondly, unless I am wrong, I think in the English translation, in the Eastern Rite, ineffable is used again and again and again. I attended a liturgy in Passaic, New Jersey, which is, you would say, average in terms of understanding of English, and I cannot tell you how many times in that liturgy ineffable was used, and no one seemed to mind.
All right. So the amendment proposed is that we substitute divine for ineffable in the four instances there on number 115. All those who are in favor of making this substitution of translating ineffabilis as divine, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those who are opposed?
No.
All right, I think that's fairly clear. That one doesn't... Since there are no other amendments proposed, it's time to move the question. Is there anything else you want to say? Because we're going to ask the floor. Okay. Yes, Bishop Gaglione. Mm-hmm.
As I recall, we had something similar happen 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago in Los Angeles when we studied the amendments, but then we didn't ask if there was any discussion about the whole in globo, the whole approval of the prayers as such. I do feel we should at least invite us to make comments on that.
What was the, I'm sorry, Bishop? Are you moving something?
Correct me if I'm wrong, it was Bishop Lynch that back in Los Angeles, I don't think he's here even now, that when we approved of the Eucharistic prayers post factum, he said, individual amendments, and then we said, okay, the whole thing's approved. He said, normally, after you approve the amendment one by one, as we just did, then in globo we ask, is there any further discussion about moving the whole approval forward,
sure
or no?
That's the question right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to ask for interventions at this point on that.
Yes.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, this is...
I thought you were going to call for the vote immediately.
Well, we are, but after discussion. I just wanted to make that clear. That's what I think I mentioned to Bishop Saratelli. So are you ready for the discussion on the whole? So the motion that he will put forward is, do the Latin Church members of the USCCB approve the ISIL Grey Book translation of the proper seasons of the Roman Missal for use in the dioceses of the United States of America? After discussion, he will call that and will ask you to vote using ballot number 15, because we have to have 2/3 of the Latin Rite bishops present to approve this. Bishop, so the discussion is open now. The floor is open. Bishop Ruskowitz.
This is just a question, Bishop Saratelli. We've heard that several or four or five bishops' conferences have already approved the ISIL translations.
Yes.
We haven't approved them, and we're amending them now. And so what is the procedure? We're going to send this not any longer to ISIL, but directly to the Holy See. Is it projected that the Holy See will approve a different kind of translation in English for the United States, different from those other English-speaking countries? Is that the idea? We're going to ask the Holy See to give us a special translation here. Is that, I don't understand exactly what the procedure is. I'm sorry.
When I was there working with the translations of the rite of marriage and baptism in Spanish, I had an opportunity to speak about this issue, and I found a couple of things that are important to keep in mind. Number one, the congregation expressed an openness to all the suggestions that would arise out of the process of the USCCB. Number two, with our work, as we decided in our last meeting, if this is approved, it goes directly to the Holy See, and the Holy See then takes in consideration the modifications that we have made to the text.
That's what they did with the Ordo Missae, and most of our modifications entered into the Ordo Missae that was sent then to all the other conferences, because they all do the same thing. They send a text, the Holy See modifies it, if it so desires, and sends it back.
So the Holy See could reject some of these things, these modifications that we have made then, in other words.
And it also could accept them.
Historically, it has accepted almost all of them.
Good.
And has used them in the universal text. You're right, in as much as the Holy See wants to have a single translation in each major language for the liturgy. But most of the translations that are the modifications that we have submitted, they have accepted for everyone.
Archbishop Hughes.
I would like to speak in support of our adopting the present translation for the Proper of Seasons. It seems to me that the present translation we have available is a significant improvement over the 1970 translation. And the bishops have been involved in the shaping of the translation in an unprecedented way, given the new process that we have followed and that the Holy See has allowed with the Liturgium Authenticam, the restructuring of ISIL, and the relationship of ISIL to the local conferences. I would like to make some specific comments. One, we have before us a translation that represents faithful equivalency, not a literal translation, and not dynamic equivalency. Faithful in the sense that it recaptures levels of doctrinal meaning that are contained in the Latin text, and a number of references to Scripture that were lost in the translation that was done the first time round. Secondly, I'd like to mention, in connection with the single sentence structure of the presidential prayers, there is particularly in the collect prayer a structure that addresses God, gives him a title, offers a petition, gives a reason for the petition in a dependent clause, and then offers a conclusion. When we separate out the dependent clause and the petition, we either make two petitions and lose the reason for the petition, or we make a statement about God and then move on to the petition. So I just lift that up as something that not only is called for in Liturgium Authenticam, but also in the Ratio Translationis that the congregation sent to ISIL to guide the work of translation. And the last point I would like to make is in connection with sacral language. Obviously, in translation work, I remember Archbishop Palachuk any number of times when translations would come before us in the past, would underscore the fact that we can have differences of opinion in translation as to what is the most appropriate word to use or phrase to use. But what should not be called into question is the need for colloquial language to yield to sacral language, so that it is something that is uplifting of the spirit, has a sense of the poetic, and is worshipful. The all of this, of course, is going to depend, once the complete translation is done, upon good catechesis. And there are efforts that are already in place preparing the work of catechesis. Our priests are going to need to be catechized first, and then in and through them, the faithful, in a way that we were not prepared to do with the first translation. And I think that that's going to be an opportunity not only for preparation for the reception of this new translation, but also an appreciation, a renewed appreciation of what the Eucharist is about and what the sacred language of the liturgy helps us to pray.
Thank you, Archbishop. Archbishop Myers, followed by Bishop Braxton. Bishop Troutman.
I would like to speak in favor of our passing the translation as it now has been amended once again, partly because the committee has gone to extraordinary lengths to incorporate suggestions from the members of this body of bishops. I think it was like 200 of 300 that you said, Bishop Ceritelli, that you accepted. And I understand that you made a presentation about this translation to the members of the FDLC in Milwaukee some weeks ago, and it was enthusiastically received by them, your presentation and their understanding of it. And so I think we should follow along and move the process along.
Bishop Braxton, followed by Archbishop Sheehan, then Bishop Troutman, and we will, Bishop Supich after that. And that'll be the last one. If you don't mind, we'll call for the vote.
Thank you very much, Bishop Ceritelli, for all the work that has been in this. Having been on the Liturgy Committee, it's when this was unfolding, I'm aware of just how much work has been involved, and I certainly support approving the translation. I would like to recall in our small group discussion of the goals, goal number 6 was the one that we were discussing, faith formation and sacramental practice, which had to do with precisely the reception of the new Missale Romanum. And in the discussion, it was sometimes suggested that, well, the new Missale Romanum is so far away, we don't need to begin to do anything anytime, well, not too soon, because it's still, we don't know when it's going to come out. In some ways, in support of Archbishop Hughes, I think the sooner we start putting things together, the better, because no translation is perfect. I support approving this translation, but already bits and pieces of it are filtering out, and unlike the positive reception that I'm happy you had in Milwaukee, there are various individuals saying, well, I don't buy this, I don't buy that, I won't pray this, I won't do that. I've even heard, I have received a letter in my diocese from a parish liturgy committee informing me that Father so-and-so in our committee, we've decided we're going to stay with the old missal no matter what. So I believe the desire to accept this translation, I think we do need a more sacral language, but it won't bear much fruit if some of our priests aren't even using it. And so I just would like to associate my support of this with the idea that goal number 6, we don't need to tarry in getting organized for that purpose, because I think people are already taking postures toward this without ever having even really seen it. Thank you.
Thank you. Archbishop Sheehan, followed by Bishop Troutman.
I speak in favor of the translation as it has been amended and presented to us. I think that Bishop Ceritelli's committee has been very sensitive to the concerns that have been raised, concerns that were raised in June in Orlando, and also responsive to the recommendations that were made for this meeting. I think the priests of the country are anxious for this project to go forward, and certainly I think we need it for the good of the church, so I hope that it passes today. Thank you.
Thank you. Bishop Troutman, followed by Bishop Supich.
Thank you very much. I want to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the chair, the committee, and the staff in their efforts to make this translation more acceptable to the concerns of the bishops. In June, we recall that this body rejected the document, and the question before us, has this document been improved to the point where we can pass it and say this is now to be the public prayer of the church? I think the basic problem remains that the ISIL translation is fundamentally flawed. ISIL has employed the formal equivalency approach in translation as opposed to dynamic equivalency. Centuries ago, two scholars, Jerome and Augustine, fought publicly over the approach to translation. Both love the church and both are saints. The end result for all translation is it must communicate. It must communicate. We all want faithful and precise and accurate translations from the Latin. But following slavishly the Latin word order, one sentence and having archaic words and lengthy sentences that are not proclaimable does not communicate. So I would simply say we should be true to the Constitution and the Sacred Liturgy, which is the authority document over all other instructions. Bishops are tired of translation issues, but we must keep in mind the pastoral dimension, the people in the pews, and give them a translation that is proclaimable and understandable.
Thank you, Bishop. Bishop Supich, followed by Bishop Gaglione.
I originally had some difficulties with the translations that were proposed by ISIL because of the way that they treated the qui clauses, and also it made for very run-on sentences in the orations. I see that there has been an enormous amount of effort put in to deal with both of those issues. It's not perfect, but a real effort has been made here that has to be recognized, and I congratulate the committee for the work that they did. But secondly, I think it's important to keep in mind that we already passed the Ordo Missae, and much of the way that that is translated coincides with what we have here. And so it seems now that it is time to move ahead, given the fact that the Ordo Missae is approved. We're moving ahead with it. This now would be in sync. It's not perfect, but it is usable, and it is something that we can use as a catechetical means in preparing our people for this new expression of worship. And finally, what Bishop Braxton said is so true. We do have a resolution. We do have a goal with regard to using the Roman Missal as a means by which we're going to educate our people, give them an opportunity in a very comprehensive way, and hopefully in a very strategic, nationally coordinated way to renew the liturgy within the church in this country. So I will be voting for this.
Thank you. And Bishop Gaglione then, and I'll ask Bishop Saratelli to respond and to present the motion.
Thank you, Your Eminence. Bishop Saratelli, I want to thank you for giving the precise reference there to Liturgia Maltenticum number 57 in response to my question yesterday. Basically, it spells out what you said yesterday, namely that we were told yesterday that the basis for the one sentence must be translated as equivalent in English as one sentence. There's nothing specific, but rather the directive in Liturgia Maltenticum is to preserve the style of the Latin original as far as is possible. Well, I'd like to make two brief comments to that. I find the explanation difficult to accept because it takes no account of the style of English in which it's being translated. In the article that I wrote for American Magazine in September, I referred to that, namely these periodic sentences of Latin work beautifully in Latin. Classical Latin favors that style with its subtle use of subordinate clauses and participles, but this does not work in modern English, even in formal speeches delivered on special occasions. And the second point I would want to make, rather than adhering strictly to the style of a Latin original, wouldn't we have better prayers to proclaim in our liturgies if we follow the style that Jesus himself used in his prayers? Seven of the Lord's prayers are preserved for us by the four Gospels. Most of them consist of only one or two short sentences. The longest of them, however, takes up a whole chapter, chapter 17 of John. In the New American Bible translation of that chapter, 26 verses have 25 sentences. Even in the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, which Jesus taught us, by the way, he did not pray that prayer himself. He, the sinless one, could not pray, "Forgive us our trespasses." He says, "When you pray, say, Our Father." He taught us how to pray. In Matthew's Gospel, those six verses, most modern translations, except for the New American Bible, but most other modern translations have at least five and some even six individual sentences. Now, you did, incidentally, accept a number of my, along with other bishops here, to make some of the very long opening prayers shorter by putting semicolons where really a comma is warranted, not a semicolon. I just find this very strange because, as in music, a period means it's a full stop. A semicolon is only a half stop and should be properly used. In many of those instances, I feel it's not used properly. I did a very anecdotal survey a month and a half ago at the Cathedral Parish. I had the vigil mass this one Saturday, and the tourists were evidently down because of the economy. And I asked the ushers to pass out this little form. They didn't have to sign it, and to be passed out only to anyone 14 years or older, namely high school students on up, if they wanted to participate. Didn't have to sign it. I had two prayers. One was the Angelus prayer. Really, it's the opening prayer for the fourth Sunday of Advent, the prayer that we pray at the end of the Angelus every day. And the other was the alternate that I proposed and was rejected, and I knew in advance, of course, that it would not be accepted because maybe it was too far-fetched. But this is what I proposed. In place of "pour forth, we beseech you, Lord," etc. "Lord, through the message of an angel, we learned how Christ your Son took on our mortal flesh," period. "So pour your grace into our hearts, that through his passion and cross we may be brought to the glory of his resurrection. We ask this through Christ." Now, again, ISIL would disagree with me because I've taken the quasumus and I put it down in the closing refrain there. "We ask." I'd like to point out to my brother bishops that in English we're saying the imitation prayer, "Let us pray." Oremus. Pause. And then the Latin continues. "Da quasumus." It's a different verb. Oremus, quasumus. But not in English. We're saying, "Let us pray." We start. "Grant, we pray, O Lord, to your servants." Da quasumus Domini famuli. In Latin, it's beautiful. The cadence is Da quasumus Domini famulis tuis. Beautiful. But if you're going to say, "Grant, we pray, O Lord, to your servants," it's staccato. And many of those opening prayers are just like that. Now, you say that you're not after literal translation, but if you follow slavishly the original Latin word order, I, with all due respect, disagree with you, to the point where one of our brother bishops, in one of his modifications he wanted to make, the word in the ISIL text was "good odor," the aroma. Yeah, odor is translated as aroma, the good aroma. And it was rejected, saying he put "a sweet aroma." Marvelous. It's poetic. It flows. And it goes with the word aroma. Very pleasant. And they rejected saying no. The Latin original says "bonus odor." Good aroma. I much prefer "a sweet aroma." It's so beautiful. Thank you. Oh, by the way, it's for these reasons, with all due respect, that I feel that if we do approve these, down the line, we're going to regret it from our people in the pews when they get to hear them directly. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Victor. Bishop Saratelli, will you respond and move the question?
Sure. Just a brief response, since our discussion has been long. In our present participation in preparing the translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, we are at a very good point. The new translations have been made in accord with the principles of Liturgium Authenticum, but as Archbishop Hughes has very aptly expressed, not slavishly. The translations that we have unearth the theological richness of the original text, and they steer us in a direction of appreciating liturgical language and style, as well as the catechetical importance of the words that we use at liturgy to pass on the faith. The style of our prayers in the translation lift us up as well as honor God. They help us to realize the sacred mysteries that we are celebrating are not mundane everyday realities, but are also spiritual and supernatural mysteries. And the prayers help call us from the prose of our everyday life to the experience already sharing in the liturgy of heaven. The language is no small gain that we have in the new translations. Our concerns as bishops have been listened to, and the texts have been edited and redacted and edited and redacted. I dare say we will never have a completely perfect translation that will meet the taste of all of us. No translation, by the fact that it is a translation, is perfect, and any translation will not meet the personal preference of every single person that uses it. I think it's time to recognize that a great progress has been made in our present translation in continuity with the liturgical movement that was made since Vatican II. And I think we should be wise enough to accept the text that will be a step forward in the continual renewal of the church through liturgy. So therefore, I now move that the Latin members of the USCCB approve the ISO Grey Book translation of the Proper of Seasons of the Roman Missal for use in the Diocese of the United States of America.
You will use, please, Valet 15. Two-thirds of the bishops in the Latin churches must vote yes, and there must be a subsequent recognition by the Holy See. Yeah. Monsignor Malloy has some results from the voting.
We have the results on some of the elections from this morning. For the Committee on Cultural Diversity, the election between Bishop Jaime Soto, Bishop J. Terry Stibe, there was 226 present and voting, 114 majority. The vote was Bishop Soto, 134, Bishop Stibe, 92. Bishop Soto is elected. Committee on Pro-Life Activities, the candidates, you recall, were Cardinal DiNardo and Archbishop Naumann. Again, 225 present and voting, 113 majority. Cardinal DiNardo, 165. Archbishop Naumann, 59. Cardinal DiNardo is elected. Committee on Communications between Bishop Robert Finn and Bishop Gabino Zavala, 226 present and voting, 114 majority. Bishop Finn, 97 votes. Bishop Zavala, 129 votes. Bishop Zavala is elected. The Committee on National Collections, Bishop Michael Bransfield and Bishop Kevin Farrell. 225 present and voting, 113 majority. Bishop Bransfield, 84. Bishop Farrell, 139, abstention 2. Bishop Farrell is elected. Committee on Doctrine. Bishop Jerome Listecki and Archbishop Donald Wuerl, 226 present and voting, 114 majority. Bishop Listecki, 85 votes. Archbishop Wuerl, 140. Archbishop Wuerl is elected. Conference Secretary between Bishop Stephen Blair, Bishop George Murray, 219 present and voting, 110 the majority. Bishop Blair, 69 votes. Bishop Murray, 150 votes. Bishop Murray is elected the Secretary.
Would Bishop Saratelli please take the podium again in order to present the second action item from the Committee on Divine Worship, the approval of the revised Grail Psalter by the monks of Conception Abbey for liturgical use in the United States.
Bishops, you have before you action item number 3, the revised Grail Psalter by the monks of Conception Abbey. The Committee on Divine Worship has reviewed the question of approving either the revised Grail Psalter by the monks of Conception Abbey or the new revised American Bible Psalms for use, for liturgical use in the United States. Two psalters are presently approved for and are in use in the Diocese of the United States of America. The Grail Psalter, 1963, is used in the Liturgy of Hours. The NAB Psalter of 1970 is used in all other liturgical books. The revised Grail Psalter by the monks of Conception Abbey was developed in consideration of the principles of Liturgium Authenticum. The revised Grail Psalter has been recommended by the Committee on Divine Worship, and it has received the approval of the Subcommittee on the Translation of Scripture Texts, which is a subcommittee now of the Committee on Doctrine. And it has also received, that is the revised Grail Psalter, the recommendation of the former Music Subcommittee of the Committee of Liturgy. The Subcommittee on Scripture Translation commented that the revised Grail Psalter is to be commended for the quality of the revision, for the consistent accuracy in rendering the Hebrew text, and also for creating a revision of the Psalter that captures the poetic rhythm of the Hebrew, and it is suitable for recitation or chanting. The Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments has been consulted at several stages in the preparation of this translation of the Psalter. The revised Grail Psalter has been adopted by those English-speaking conferences engaged in ICPEL, that is the International Commission for the Preparation of an English Lectionary. Those would be all the English-speaking conferences except the United States and Canada. The revised Grail Psalter will be included in the revised lectionary for Mass for use in those countries. Furthermore, the Bishops' Conference of Kenya has voted to use the revised Conception Grail Psalter, and the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments is presently reviewing the text to provide a speedy reconitio. Your documentation includes a comparative chart containing the full text of both translations of the Psalter. The Committee on Divine Worship recommends the revised Grail Psalter be adopted for liturgical use in the United States, and these are the reasons. First, it has been recommended by musicians for its musicality. It is open to the use of various musical forms. It can easily be sung, chanted, or recited. Another reason, it is faithful to the Hebrew text, and paraphrases have been corrected. The text has been revised to keep true to the Hebrew sense of strophes for each line. Another reason, it is a text that is somewhat familiar to those who pray the breviary, even with the improvements that have been made. And while being faithful to the Hebrew imagery and anthropology, it is critically aware of the Christological references within the Psalms. Approval of this item requires the positive vote of 2/3 of the Latin Church members of the USCCB and subsequent confirmation by the Holy See. All contractual legal questions will be resolved before submitting the item to the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments.
Thank you, okay. Bishop Saratelli. Is there a discussion? I guess there is. Start to, yeah. Bishop Troutman, you start. You get. Please hold up the card. Yeah, Troutman. Bishop Troutman.
And
Baker. Skilba.
Thank you. I just seek a clarification. Ed, we speak of liturgical use in the United States. Does that mean that the new Psalter, Grail Psalter, revised, would replace the present Psalter in liturgical books, baptism, marriage, so forth? That's my question. What is the intent?
Right. It can be, but each of those would have to be approved individually by the bishops.
Okay, I guess my question is, I'd like to see a uniformity in the use of the Psalms, the antiphons, and so forth. That's always been one of my big points. So if we approve this, I would just like to see a consistency used in all the liturgical books for the sake of our people. And then my second question refers to your final statement. Can you give us any word of explanation about the copyright revenue?
Okay. We note that the text is jointly owned by the monks of Conception Abbey and the Ladies of the Grail. GIA Publications in Chicago acts as a licensing agent, and they assure us a cooperative working relationship with the USCCB and the Secretariat of Divine Worship. The staff of the Secretariat of Divine Worship has met with the representatives of GIA after consultation with Abbot Gregory Poland of Conception Abbey. We have been assured that the USCCB will not be charged royalties for the use of the Grail Psalter in documents or other conference publications.
Okay. Bishop Baker, followed by Bishop Skilba.
I would share the concern also that this be the common use of Psalms in all our liturgical books. I think that would be wise once we move in this direction. Bishop Saratelli, your own impression of the improvement of this translation over the previous translation and your own experience of looking at the two as a scripture scholar?
Since I was told never to sing, I have not tried to sing it, so I depend on the advice of others, and people who have heard these psalms sung have said they work perfectly. So from the point of view of their singability, they work excellently, and they have already been used. In terms of the translation, I will just repeat what the Subcommittee on Scripture said. It is an accurate and good translation, and is certainly worthy of the liturgy.
Thank you. Bishop Skilba, then Bishop Gross.
In keeping with Archbishop Palarchik's intervention yesterday, I suggest that we review the spelling of the word Psalter and see if it indeed corresponds to the normal usage that that exists in our language.
Okay, thank you. Bishop, then we'll be ready for the vote, I believe.
I had served as the chair of that subcommittee on music and liturgy. I want to assure all the members of the conference that indeed it was a unanimous recommendation from the subcommittee to the VCL that we indeed use the Grail Psalter. I would also note members of the committee consisted of liturgical musicians, composers of liturgical music, and also we had a member from the monistic tradition who was both a composer and musician and well-versed in psalmody itself. So again, I encourage a vote yes for the Psalter, the Grail Psalter.
Thank you, Bishop. Do you have a final word, Bishop Saratelli?
No.
Then, thank you. Do the Latin Church members of the USCCB accept the revised Grail Psalter by the monks of Conception Abbey for liturgical use in the United States of America? The two-thirds that is required will then be sent to the Holy See, and so we have to have the numbers. You will please use ballot number 16, this purplish ballot, which will now be collected by the staff.
If I may just add a word of tremendous gratitude and thanks for the Herculean task so well performed by Abbot Poland in the revision of this Psalter. Thank you.
We're very grateful to all the experts. Bruce Harbert is there, I see, Monsignor Harbert, and Abbot Poland, and a number of others from our own staff, and so we're very grateful for all the help that they've given us, and you as well. Thanks, Bishop Sartori.